path along life's highway. So common and well trod by the shoes of burdened Christians who won't put their trust in God.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret with your host, author, and teacher, Sylvia Pierce. The Liberating Secret is dedicated to revealing the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Let's join Sylvia Pierce for today's lesson.
He died and rose again to set me free.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce. So glad to be with you today. Last time I took a little side trip from what I'm teaching in Colossians, and I'm still in the first chapter of Colossians. And I'm getting ready to start in verse 23-24. My little side trip was that I talked about what Christianity is not, and I think a lot of times we can certainly understand things by its opposite. So I don't need to go over that again. If you'd like to see it, it's a whole list, and I can post that list on my website, so you might be able to use that. I've had people write me and say, send me that. I want to bring that out in my Sunday school class or whatever class they were teaching. So I certainly will do that. What Christianity is not. And so then what is Christianity? Salvation is a person. It's the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not receiving a religion. You're not receiving church membership. You're receiving the person of Jesus, and he comes inside of you, takes your place for living. He took your place at Calvary, and now he's taking your place in the present tense, and he's going to live your life. He's going to live the life through you, because the Bible says you are dead, and your life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is your life. Wow. He's not a part of your life. He is it. He is the whole essence of your life. Does that mean that I'm just dead, so therefore I'm not alive? No. The Bible says, yes, I'm dead to the old life, which is a satanic life, a self for self, me for me life. I'm dead to that. But I'm alive to Jesus and his righteousness. His righteous life living out through me, his holy life living out through me, through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness himself, living out through me. So he is my holiness and my life. This is what Christianity truly is, receiving Christ as my life. Now, in Colossians, in verse 20, we talked about the blood of Christ. And through the blood, let me read you these. This is a part of my little chart booklet that I often do a whole chart presentation. I could spend a week doing a presentation from this chart. But anyway, through the blood of Jesus, we have what? Deliverance from the fruit of sin, which are sins. Sins are the fruit. Sin is the producer. Sins is the result of Mr. Sin. Okay, I have deliverance from the fruit of sin, which is sins. So you see, the gospel, the cross, is offering us deliverance. Do you want deliverance? Maybe you feel like you don't need it. If you don't need it, you don't need the gospel. If you don't need it, you don't need Christ, because that's who he is. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He saves you. He saves you from you, from the old you, and gives you a brand new you. That's the point. And the blood reconciles us, makes us accepted, and cancels out the debt that we owe. I mean, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So that's a debt we owe because of our sin. And he reconciles us and makes us acceptable and cancels out the debt. How about that? Now, these are the benefits of the cross, of accepting Christ. Justification, and a lot of people say, and I think Billy Graham said this, just as if I'd never sinned. It means that I'm made, that I'm clean. Now, my sins are not all justified before God. It doesn't mean that. And the old life is not justified. It doesn't mean that either. It means in God's sight, I'm justified, I'm made right, just as if I had never, ever sinned, because Jesus' blood washes me clean, as if I had never sinned. And then he can't even remember my sins any longer. Think of that. He can't even remember your sins any longer when you have Jesus living in you. And so, and then also through the blood, we have the assurance of heaven. We have the assurance of when we die, we have a home in heaven. We have a mansion in heaven, as John 14 says. But yet, heaven starts now. It doesn't. We don't live for the future. We live in now. The future ends up being now. You're making up your destiny by what you believe today. What are you going to believe? And well, I'm going to believe Jesus, and I'm going to trust Him with all my heart. And if He will come inside your heart and make you know that you're right with Him. He'll give you the assurance of faith. You just trust Him, and He will bring forth that assurance of faith right back inside of you. You'll have peace with God. You know, the Bible says that anybody that's not saved is a vessel of wrath. That means they're full of wrath, they're full of anger, they have no peace. They try to have peace, they try to act nice, and they put on false faces, but underneath they're full of bitterness and anger and strife and self-justification. That's a lost person. But a person in Christ has peace. Has peace. Why? Because Jesus lives in us. He's the Prince of Peace, gives us peace. And our hope of glory is the glorious bodily resurrection. That's what our hope is. Now, through the crucified body of Christ, what are we delivered from? We are delivered from the root of sin, which is a sinful nature, which is Satan living inside of us, being joined to us, and being our very nature, the nature we live by, the power source we live by, which is self for self for self. That's how it manifests itself. And the Bible says through His bodily death, we are dead to sin. Well, sin really is a person. Sin is Satan living in us, manifesting himself out through us as sins. And we spontaneously operate from that sinful nature. We don't even try to get up every morning and say, "Oh, Satan, how can I serve you?" You're just serving yourself. You're loving the creation more than the creator. You're worshiping yourself. You see, that's really worshiping. That's Satan worship. The old self, but what have we been delivered from? We've been delivered from that old self, that old fallen nature. We've delivered from it, and we're crucified with Christ to it. So therefore, we have a new nature. And we have put off the body of sins. The nature inside of us has given us different sinful thought patterns that cause us to go in those sinful directions. Now, the putting off of that is we renew our mind to the truth of who we really are. That has no power over me. So our minds still need to be renewed to the truth, because we still have a fallen mind. And as a man thinketh, so is he. So we have a mind that can think fleshly, and the devil pulls us into that fleshly thinking. And what is the essence of that fleshly thinking is, I'm sufficient in myself. Thank you, God. Jesus, I'll let you help me occasionally, but basically I'm sufficient enough in myself to live the life apart from you. that is the essence of sin. That's the essence, that the creation is greater and has no need of the creator living its life. You see, we have to have the divine life of Christ living in us to be a new creation. And we are dead to the law. So if you're in Christ, you are no longer under outer shoulds and oughts. Wow, that's pretty strong to say, but that's what the Bible says. We're dead to the law. In other words, the law doesn't die. I mean, we still know the right or wrong of things. I mean, it's not right to have affairs on our marriage partner and misuse our children. It isn't right. We know that. But we don't need an outer law to tell us, because we have the law written in our heart. You see, you already know in your heart that's not right. Okay, then if I'm dead to the law, how do I stop sinning? No, then I am dead to sin. And then when the law tries to tell me, you go and try to conquer your own sins, you go and try to conquer your own addictions, and you will fail every time. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Holy Spirit all these things are accomplished. By His Spirit. You see, He will transform us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of transformation. He is the one that transforms us. He's the one that causes us to know the fullness of what Jesus has done for us. He's the one that is our teacher. He's the one that leads us into all truth. Jesus promised that, so that is the truth. All right, we are made whole. We are made righteous, holy, unreprovable, and complete. We are cleansed from a sin consciousness and given a new mind. And He gives us a new identity and a new self. That is right. When you have a new self, which is the new, your self spirit is joined to His spirit, that's your new identity. That's why you're called a Christian, a Christ one, a Christian, a Christ one. You see, Christ has come and joined Himself to your spirit. And that's your new nature. That's the new creation. That's the holiness of God. That's the Holy of Holies. I mean, you know that the temple was divided into three. It was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Well, it represents man, body, soul, and spirit. Okay, the spirit is the Holy of Holies. Your spirit joined to the very glory of God. Did the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, lived in the Shekinah. It lived in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, in the temple. And now he wants the Shekinah glory, or the presence of God, wants a permanent place. Well, that permanent place is in the heart of mankind, man that is redeemed. Redeemed mankind, not unredeemed, not unregenerated mankind. He does not live there. So many people today are saying ridiculous things like everybody already has Christ, everybody already has salvation, everybody already is saved. That is absolutely blasphemy. It's not the truth. We are not it's not agreeing with the Bible. The Bible says we're hopeless and dead in our trespasses and sins until we receive Christ in our heart. See, you can have a mental assent of being a Christian, and it will not hold any water whatsoever. It's just like knowing that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president, or Barack Obama is the present president right now. That's just knowing things about history, knowing informational things, you see. We're not saved because we know about Christ or we know about Christianity. That would be head knowledge. That would be a mental assent. And we're not saved. We're lost in our trespasses and sins. And therefore, the only way to be saved is to receive Christ first through repentance. Repentance means that I turn from my sinful ways and I turn towards Christ. I need a new life in Him. I need Him to forgive me of all of my sins. I'm needy of Him, not a new religion, but of Him, the person of Christ. And as you receive Him, the Holy Spirit brings you alive on the inside. Then you can know these things. Then you can understand what's being taught in the Bible and what Paul is teaching and what the mystery of the gospel is that he brings out in the next verses. Let me start reading those next verses in Colossians, because I'm going to start in verse 24 of chapter 1. Who now rejoice in my suffering. This is Paul talking, and the previous verse says that I, Paul, am made a minister. And then it says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Now, boy, this is pretty strong. Paul, the apostle, is saying that everything I suffer is not for me, it's for you. Now, if that's not Christ in Paul's particular form, I've never heard it, because flesh and blood cannot say that. Flesh and blood left to itself cannot rejoice in your suffering for somebody else. That doesn't compute in the mind of the flesh, but in the mind of the Spirit, that is the way of God. And we can rejoice if another person is saved because of something that I've gone through. Then hallelujah, how wonderful. That's the mind of the Spirit. And Paul is saying that. And Paul says a very interesting, very strong thing. He next says, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. My goodness. You see, what he has done, oh my, 2 Corinthians 11 tells us what he had to suffer. Outwardly, my goodness, he was beaten. He was beaten with a rod. He was stoned. He was whipped 5 different times, 39 stripes. He suffered shipwreck. He was bitten by venomous snakes. I mean, we act like that if we're going to be preaching the gospel, we're not going to have any trouble. And these are really Paul's credentials. They're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Go read it for yourself. But one thing that bothered him more than anything, than all the outer suffering, was the inner suffering that he had for the body of Christ, for the church, that they might know the gospel. He's the one that wrote, "The suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed." Okay, his suffering is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that he has given, that he has glorified God by giving the gospel out to this Gentile world that had been 4,000 years steeped in nothing but idol worship. And the principalities and the evil principalities and powers had ruled these areas with all their false gods, and the fallen angels had ruled and these people and ruled their hearts, ruled their minds. And here Paul was coming with the gospel. You better believe that the devil hated it. He still hates it today. That's why the gospel has been so perverted, because the devil hates to hear the gospel, hates people to know the fullness of the gospel. He hates people to know the full inheritance that's yours, that's ours, by faith in Christ. He hates it. He doesn't want anybody to hear it. He doesn't even want me to teach it. And you know what? The gates of hell cannot come against what God has brought as in revelation to the people of God, to the true ministers of God that are sharing the true gospel around the world. And there are thousands of true prophets, of true apostles, true teachers and preachers that are truly teaching the truth of the gospel. And there are probably many, many more false apostles, false teachers, false preachers that are really servants of the devil, carrying the body of Christ off, away from their stand in the gospel of Christ. God help us. God help us. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can keep us from falling. And that's the truth. I'm not under the illusion that I can keep myself because I study enough or I teach enough. I cannot keep myself. I cannot. But I'm trusting the power, the mighty, saving power of the Holy Spirit to keep me all the way to the end. Now that is my assurance, and I am so sure that he will do it. I put my whole faith, my whole trust in him to do it. I don't trust in anything else. I don't trust in myself. I don't trust in any religious understanding or spiritual understanding. I don't trust in any of that. I trust in him to keep me from falling. And that's what Jude says. Jude 24 says, "Unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us holy before the Father, before the glory of the Father." And that's the truth. He is going to present us holy. Hallelujah. So I put all my trust in the keeping power of him. He keeps me, but you know what? I also put my faith that he keeps my children. They can't keep themselves. My husband can't keep himself. We can't keep this ministry. We don't have anything that we can keep. All we can do is trust the one who is the keeper, who will not let the gates of hell come against the precious gospel that God has given us to proclaim to the world. So I believe that with all my heart, with all my heart. And Paul says he fills up that which is behind of the suffering. So whatever he has to suffer to bring this gospel, he's going to do it. And then he says this, "Wherein I am made a minister." This is my ministry. This is my calling. I don't know if you all realize this, but in the very beginning in Acts chapter 9, let me turn to that. Let me show you what Paul's calling is. Maybe you might not like to have a calling like this, but this was Paul's calling, the great apostle, the most schooled of all of the disciples. Listen to what his calling is. he says, God says to Ananias, Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. So that's his calling. He was called to suffer. He was called to die. He was called to lay his life down. That was his calling, was to lay his life down and to take the outer suffering and by faith stand for the gospel to go to the world. And guess what? Even today, people are set on fire and saved by his gospel. It's the truth. So even today, his fruit just continues to go on and on and on through history until the end. Okay, then it says, wherein I am made a minister, according to this dispensation of God, which is given unto me for you, to fulfill the word of God. In other words, fill up any missing places that we don't, in our understanding about the gospel and about God's word and about what God means and God's purposes. He says, and I've given unto me to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, not to the world, but to his saints. To his saints. Who are the saints? The simple people that put their faith wholly in Jesus, the Son of God. Take away their sins, make them a new creation, put your faith wholly in him, your whole trust in him, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might, your whole trust in him. That's all it is. That's a saint. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, here it is. Now, why is he saying Christ in you, the hope of glory, to these Colossians? Well, they had veered off into various speculations. This is my opinion. No, this is what I think. This is your opinion. No, this is my opinion. We do that today in Christianity. We need to get away from speculative thinking. And we've gone after psychology as well. Psychology and reasoning has taken the place of simple faith. Simple faith. You see? We can't understand ourselves enough to fix ourselves. Or even if I get light about why I behave a certain way, behavioral science cannot redeem you. Just because I understand why I behave the way I understand way I behave, because when I was a child I was treated this way or treated that way, that gives you some kind of aha, wow, that's how I behave the way I do. It doesn't transform that behavior. It gives you a little aha, and it makes you think that you can conquer it. That's the lie. You can't conquer it. It's been conquered at Calvary. It was sin. It was generational sins, and it was put on Christ at the cross, and he died to it and rose again, and out of that resurrection, you've been delivered from it. So psychology can't deliver you. The cross of Christ delivers you. Stand in the fact that you're already delivered by Christ. That's how you get your freedom. So you see, they had veered off into these kind of speculative or vain philosophy or traditions of men or ritualistic legalism. You see, the devil is always diverting us away from the simplicity that is in Christ, that's in the cross of Christ. You know, Jimmy Swaggart, I love Jimmy Swaggart. He teaches he has a great message. And you know what the message is? It's very simple. It's the message of the cross. It's simple. That's all it is. But that's all Christianity is. We need a station, and his station, Sun Broadcasting Network, certainly centers in on one thing, the message of the cross, the message of the cross. If we don't give anything else, I mean, that's one of the most powerful and the greatest messages that we have, is the message of the cross that's already set us free and given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, which is really Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when we think of in you, we always think of walking beside me or somewhere in my back pocket somewhere. It means in union with you, in union with you, forming a new creation. So my spirit, we have a human spirit, is joined to His spirit, and I'm in union with Him, together with Him. It doesn't make me Him. I remained me, the human vessel, but the human vessel is joined to the Holy Spirit. Now that's Christ in me, the only hope of glory. That's the only way I'm going to get to glory, or I'm going to be a glorified being, or I'm going to get to glory in the first place, is that Christ be in you, the only hope of glory. But you know, the next verses, and we're going to go over that next time, the next verses, there's a warning. There's a warning about the man. It's one thing to know that Christ lives in the vessel, but we've got to understand the vessel. We've got to understand that the vessel is weak, and it's meant to be a weak vessel. Some people call it a crack pot. I don't know about that, but it is an earthen vessel. It's a clay pot, put it that way. But we've got to see exactly what the human being is. That's why I do my series called What is Man? I see my time's over, so thank you for joining me, and next time we're going to talk about the human vessel. Thank you for joining me. May God richly bless you. Goodbye.
You have been listening to The Liberating Secret with Sylvia Pierce. We want to send a special thank you to all our supporters who make this program possible. If you have been blessed by this program and would like to contact Sylvia, you can write her at P.O. Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky 40253. That's Post Office Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky 40253. You can also find more of Sylvia's teachings on her website. The web address is www.theliberatingsecret.com. That's www.theliberatingsecret.com. And be sure to listen again right here, Monday through Friday at the same time, for The Liberating Secret with author and teacher Sylvia Pierce. So until next time, may God richly bless you.